up now, get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, come to sleep.
Welcome to Because I Said So. What are we tackling today? Bullying on the bus. Not kids versus kids. Kids versus a grandma. We've watched the video on YouTube. It's all over the news, and we'll respond. Also, middle school bullying or bullying of any type. We share our stories. And then what happens when you see other people's kids behave poorly? Do you step in? Do you put them in their place? You're listening to Because I Said So.
Be careful. Come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside.
Welcome to Because I Said So, and we have a lot to talk about today. We want to start off the show with something that's all over the news right now, and it is the school bus monitor being bullied by a bunch of boys, seventh grade boys, and it was caught on video. It's all over the place. It's on YouTube. We just watched a clip, too, on the Today Show about it. And this woman, 68-year-old, Karen Klein, the way the community is handling it is they're raising money for her. There's over $600,000 raised for her now. So there's an outpour of help. But really, the bottom line is what happened. And
well, I think it's impossible to watch it and not feel empathy for her.
Well, and let's give a little bit of background first for people who may not have seen it. So there's, the 68-year-old woman, she's a bus monitor. She's not the bus driver. She's sitting on the bus. And these kids who are, do we know what grade they're in? They're middle school.
Seventh graders.
Seventh graders just harass her.
Call her fat.
Ugly.
Call her ugly. They drop the F-bomb at least 1,000 times.
Yeah, and they videotape
their language.
It. And so they tape it. Whatever it is you do with a cell phone these days. And post it on YouTube. And that's kind of the background of the story.
Because they think it's funny.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty horrifying.
They're sharing their bullying with all of their friends. Yeah.
Because I guess they thought that other people would find it funny as well. And frankly, I'm thrilled that the community has rallied to say, you know what, this is not acceptable behavior. But the part that I'm a little concerned about is, so she's a bus monitor. What's the role of the bus monitor? Isn't the role of the bus monitor sort of keep peace on the bus? And if so, did she not have any ability to tell these kids to...
Yeah, it's kind of not fair to put her in that situation. She's a 68-year-old woman. If there's a fight on the bus, what can she possibly do? She can't physically separate the
kids. It'd be like having her as a bouncer at a bar. I just don't know that that would be the best choice. But, why is she not able to? Is she able to say anything? I guess at one point we heard her say...
Would she be afraid even just to stand up to go get the bus driver for help, thinking that she might be hit? Honestly, she was crying.
Well, and this happened on a couple of different occasions. They videoed this on at least two different days. So, you would think that something would have been said, that perhaps the bus driver could have stopped the bus, that something could have happened to let these kids know that this is not tolerated.
Well, I hope that the school system looks at the whole concept of the bus monitor and says, this isn't quite what we had in mind. I mean, she's sort of just along for a ride. It's like she's waiting for her next stop to get off. And I don't know that I don't think she's doing them any favors by sitting there and taking it either.
No. And then when she was asked, what do you want to say to the parents of these boys? Her first words that came out of her mouth were, "I'm sorry that your boys, acted this way."
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. That wouldn't be the first thing out of my mouth.
I cannot imagine. I hope that those parents are feeling a sense of shame about this. You do have to wonder, because as a parent, it turns your stomach to think that your child would act this way towards another human being.
Treat them, yeah.
Well, and it's interesting now that she is saying she would like an apology and she would like an explanation. And I'm sure, as we're taping this early, by the time the show airs on Saturday afternoon, one of the morning shows will have one of the parents of one of the kids on to explain. So I would be really curious to hear
what
the kid says. What makes you think you have any right to do this? And I think we should also point out that this isn't local.
No, this is not upstate New York.
Yeah, this is not a local school bus. But what is her job? And is everyone so afraid of a lawsuit now that you put people in places where they're supposed to have some kind of authority, but they have no power to back that up?
Right. I did ask my 15-year-old son, 16, excuse me, just turned 16.
Ooh.
My 16-year-old son, if he'd seen it, because, he's a YouTube junkie, as most teenagers are. So, of course, he'd seen it. And so I took the opportunity to talk to him about it because he's got a group of friends, great kids. They're so funny. I love them. And I can't ever see them doing this. I said to him, I could sort of almost see you guys being in the back of the bus, maybe making fun of somebody in the front of the bus. But for God's sakes, I just don't understand how anybody could look at another human being and just belittle and berate. But I guess that's what bullying is. Mm-hmm. Let's start with that premise. But no, he was completely sickened by it too. So
good.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if one of those seventh graders said, you know, I do this because I hear my dad talk about people at work all the time, or I hear my mom talk about, you know, that fat lady at the grocery store all the time. I mean, I don't know that this is not learned behavior.
Right.
Somewhere.
Which is why I don't think if I were the parent of one of these kids, I'd be going on national television.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
I'll decline that interview.
Yeah.
But you know
exactly.
What? I think that there's a lot of, I don't want to say denial, but I think the parents would not realize that it came from them.
Of course.
There are little conversations around the kitchen table or in the car that, you
well,
know,
well, we
what
all get shocked when our kids say things like, where did they get that?
Well, you don't think that they're listening, for one thing, right? You don't think that they're listening.
Processing.
Jeez.
But I'm amazed at so I'm going to talk about my 8-year-old and some things that I hear that come out of her friends' mouths that, you know, they're just repeating the older siblings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have an absolute no name calling there. I have no tolerance for that in my house. So when the friends are there and they start talking about others, we don't do it. We just don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, I'm just feeling for this grandmom. I really am.
But then, you know, you had mentioned too before, Jackie, when we were talking about this, like this doesn't go on every day in school buses. Now, granted, you consider it with kids on kids, but this was an adult. So this is now made a huge deal. But it happens every day on school buses.
Well, and I'm kind of wondering that if this had been a video of kids making fun of other kids, would we all have the same
reaction,
like visceral reaction?
I hope
I would.
So.
To it.
I would. I know that it would bother me just to hear, like you said, Kathy, right to your face, just to belittle someone like
anytime
that.
Anytime to capture it on film and to see it and to watch it back, it's just...
But are we more shocked that a kid feels like he can treat an adult that way? I mean,
well,
I think a lot of times
so.
We
a
still say
yeah.
kids will be kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we think there's a line for respect authority in there, but clearly there is no respect for authority here.
No,
at
and
all.
I think the reaction too is other kids may not feel like they can stick up for themselves, and that would be a little more accepted. Whereas, you know, some people are questioning, you know, why didn't this woman do more or mm-hmm. say more or take action so it didn't happen 3 times? Was she that helpless? Was she scared? I don't know.
And again, that the kids are just feeling like, I can do this, and I can do this multiple times, and here you are, I can say anything that I want.
Right. Where were the other kids to say, you know, gosh,
what
are you guys doing? Leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you know, you want somebody so badly to stand up to these kids and say, stop.
Well, and it's really interesting to me because you don't know how this was edited. I mean, you don't know how these
right.
kids actually put this together. But you can kind of hear other voices, like one feels empowered and then another voice kind of chimes
yeah.
in and another voice kind of chimes in. And you can just feel the peer
mentality.
Pressure.
They're feeding
that
off of
mob
each other.
Mentality,
mm-hmm.
right, kicking in.
They're trying to outdo each other with
right.
their meanness
with their
and
meanness.
Their funny comments. And they're, you know, they make fun of her purse at one point. And
what I'm surprised about that video is not what happened. Well, okay, the video itself, but then there's the reaction to the video. And I speak just for myself now, but the first thing I think is, oh, there's a bunch of kids who need a big slap in the face.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, no, wait a minute, that's not going to help anything.
No.
And they're probably
physical
the way they
violence.
Are, what we brought up before, they're probably the way they are because of how their home is. And the more I think about it, the more I kind of feel sorry for these kids. Like, if you're looking at somebody and you're treating them, if you look at another human being and you can't treat them like a human being, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, something somewhere has gone wrong.
Yeah. You know, there's an example of a boy that goes to high school, who my son knows. And on more than one occasion, he has been more than mean. He's been physically mean. He's chased kids down the hallway who have special needs. And, you know, to me, if, you know, there's absolutely zero understanding how a child could treat another child that way, but especially a special needs child. I mean, you want to talk about something is wrong there, that you feel that it's okay to abuse another human being, but one who especially has special needs. So...
And what is the punishment for that? I mean, what could be the... Listen to me. I'm like, let's think of a punishment. Like, what could make kids understand?
More importantly, right, what's
doing?
The cure? You know, it's how do you prevent them... How do you teach them that, you know, life has value.
You need to punish them.
but is that too late? I mean, I'm going back to, you know, why didn't they learn empathy at some point?
Right.
Or do they all just know, I know this is wrong, I know this is wrong, I know this is wrong, but all my friends are doing it.
Right. Right.
Which is, you know, the core of peer pressure for everything.
We still have a lot to talk about. This conversation is not over. When we get back, we're going to segue into kind of, you know, do you discipline other people's children when you see them acting this way or behaving this way? And how can you make sure your own kid's not that bully out there? We'll be right back. Welcome back to Because I Said So. And we are really discussing a very serious topic. We've already talked about the video that was posted on YouTube of the seventh grade students bullying the bus monitor in upstate New York. And it kind of led us down this path as into bullying, basically. My son had an incident in school where at first it was labeled bullying. And then, you know, the principal came out and said, oh, no, that term was used. It's you know, we have a specific, you know,
set of criteria
yeah. that would be able to, you'd be able to label it bullying. So that wasn't bullying. But then something else happened.
Light? What was it?
Then something else happened, though. And then the next time I walked in to volunteer in his classroom, and he's sitting there with an ice pack on his leg. And I'm like, what happened? He said, this kid, they were playing soccer on the playground, and Steven's a good little soccer player, and I don't think this kid plays soccer. So when Steven stole the ball from him and got it away from him, the kid just decided to walk up and kick him as hard as he could in the shin. And I glance over at this kid, and I'm just hot. Like, you know, his own teacher wasn't out there on the playground. But then I witness something else. Another day I go in, this kid, when they were told to group up in pairs, wanted to be my son's partner. And something struck me. I'm like, something's going on at home for him. Like, obviously he feels maybe like he needs to, you know, power over the other kids in his class. For a reason. I can honestly say I couldn't really stand there and point my finger just at him, because I do think it has a lot to do with what's going on at home, because he wanted to be Steven's partner. Like, yeah. He wanted to work with him. And I'm like, well, okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
He doesn't have the skills yet to figure out how to be the better soccer player.
Control a situation,
right,
maybe.
Right.
So he just beats
he
kids
lashed
up.
Out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know a story. I know I wrote about this, and I don't know if I shared about this. I'm hoping that I didn't. About a friend who, when she was in middle school, there was a girl who was bullying and in the coat room. And every day she was just harassing the kids, trying to take their lunch money or get their lunch. And my friend's mom decided to think outside the box a little bit to find out what was going on, and ended up sending in extra money or a lunch with her daughter every day. Mm-hmm. And that little girl completely did a turnaround. She was hungry. Now, this was years ago. You know, we couldn't do it today because of lawsuits, Jackie. We would have, you know, allergies and everything else, but
oh, God.
She was hungry. And
God forbid she brought her a peanut butter sandwich.
Exactly. I just got the chills, though. Yeah. That's so
but
sad.
What a message that mom sent, that, you know, let's see if
let's
we can...
What's
the
root
obvious.
Of the problem?
Let's root the problem and see what we can do about it.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, because looks can be... If you don't know the whole story, I guess that's where you make judgments, and then you jump to, you know, assumptions, and you don't have the whole story.
So as a parent, you know, if your kids are behaving badly, how do you feel if someone comes up to you and says, hey, you know, your kid's bullying my kid?
I'd rather know than not know.
You know, I definitely want to know. I want to know, but I have to say that there have been times, and I'm thinking of when they were smaller, that a parent might have said, oh, you know, your son and my daughter are really, you know, they're not seeing things eye to eye. And you can't help but get a little bit defensive. I mean, this is your
absolutely.
Child.
Right.
You know, your defenses come up, but I absolutely want to know if my kids are acting in a way that is not appropriate, that's not nice.
Yes, I want to know, but we investigate, because the first incident that happened with what was not supposed to be labeled bullying, we called another little boy's mom who was also part of this, and I said, get your story from your son. I got mine from mine, and call me back, and let's compare notes. And it was the exact same story. I knew my son was telling the truth. So there I had my story. And that's then when I called the principal and said, I know what happened because, you know, their stories, they line up. So, yeah, I do want to know, but I'm not going to just take it. I'm going to go investigate and ask a lot of questions and find out what really happened. Because if I'm going to punish him, I don't ever, it's hard, but, you know, he always accuses me of punishing for things he didn't do to his brother. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of have eyes in the back of my head.
You have to investigate that, too.
Would you want to know?
Well, I would want to know, but it makes me think about, you know, parenting 30 years ago or a generation ago where, you know, respecting authority was paramount. If, you know, if the school wrote home that your kid was bad at school, your kid was bad at school. It wasn't you go in and you argue with the principal that X, Y, Z happened. And it just reminds me of when I interviewed the chief of police in Ocean City years ago, and she said, you know, it's so different. We used to, when kids got in trouble and we, you know, had to arrest them or detain them, we used to call the parents and the parents were, you know, mortified. And now the parents call and argue with us. Mm-hmm. You know, my kid didn't do this. My kid didn't do this. How dare you
accuse
or arrest my child? And it's just this whole kind of turnabout in, I don't know if it's parenting or attitudes or
it is parenting,
what?
I think. You know, the whole helicopter parents and I'm going to guide you through life and do everything I can for you. No, I think they have to figure it out on their own sometimes.
Well, but of course I don't want to believe that my child was bad in any way. But at some point, don't you have to think, well, if he was arrested, there might be a problem.
It's weird that you would take what your kids do as personally as that. Although I did, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Walker had a biting problem. And I thought, oh, I must be doing something wrong.
Oh, no. Yeah. I totally take it personally.
Yeah. So, you know, when he's 17 and he gets arrested.
I'm hoping, which never happened.
It's from that biting incident.
At some point, I'm hoping to let go. But it is. You do take it personally. We had a situation where we had some neighbors who no longer live in our neighborhood who, let's see, how do I put this delicately? They were on the intense side. And they had this little car, you know, this little ridiculously expensive car that their younger kids would drive around. And one day I went over and my daughter was sitting in that car driving it around the other neighbor's yard. And I'm thinking to myself, she is way too young to be driving a car, first of all. I mean, you know, it's just a little
An
electric car. Those little mini things or whatever, you know, but super nice. And okay, the dad was a state trooper. Okay, so I like joked with him. I said, you might want to pull her over because I know she doesn't have her license. So anyway, the next thing I know, my daughter is taking this car and ramming it into a real car. Rammed it. The front headlight came off. The side mirror came off. I was mortified. My daughter was mortified. My daughter got out of the car, ran to the backyard like behind a tree. And the other little kid, she was sitting, you know, the kid who owned the car was ever sitting in the passenger seat, started bawling. But the mother comes over to me and says, your daughter needs to apologize. And I was like, okay, first of all, I warned you, she didn't have a license. Okay? I warned you. It was a half joke, but half serious. It was such a bad scene. My daughter was so mortified that I grabbed her by the hand and made her apologize. And we went home and I said, and you will never be playing with that family again. Because it was too much. It was too intense. It was just, and I was kind of scared.
That mom was hot.
I was scared of them anyway, you know, he carries a gun, all that stuff. Love state troopers. It was a very weird experience. So, you know.
Love state troopers, by the way. Thanks, Gabby.
Love them.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk more about, you know, maybe when you see other people's kids behaving like that, do you step in? We'll be right back. So what do you do when you witness someone else's child misbehaving and acting a fool? Do you take matters into your own hands? I do.
you the one whose kids poked holes in the pies at Giant?
Yeah, I'm not afraid, you know, I'm going to reprimand my kids when they act like that, no matter where we are. So if another parent is not doing their job and it is affecting me, then I'm going to say something. This was, you know, just my example. We went to the zoo on a field trip and the other mom was with us and her son was just crazy. He just was driving me bonkers. And I just got to the point where I was like, I called his name. I yelled it really loud, out loud. I even told Nicholas in her earshot, I said, you need to get away from him because you're going to get in trouble. So don't walk, like, you can't walk around with this kid. But she didn't say anything.
Well, but I think, and that's even a little different, because if you're a chaperone on a field trip, then I think you have some
you have a responsibility
it's like or a bus authority. Monitor.
But his mom was there too.
Right, right. And yeah, I mean, I would definitely say something to another kid if my kid, you know, were in danger or was doing something really stupid. But I am more likely to yell at my kid and hope that the other kid hears it.
Well, I've always said to my circle of friends, look, you are more than welcome to parent my children because I have chosen you as a friend and therefore I already like you and I probably respect your parenting.
Yes.
And it does take a village. You know, I have no problems with that. Now, you know, I have seen certain circumstances where some people go crazy with it, but, you know, I am much more of a non-confrontational person. So I would think that I'm going to let it go. Now, I may, you know, depending on what the situation is, but I think I'm going to let the parents do the parenting, and I'm going to, you know, worry about my own little sphere of influence.
What about you, Kim?
I think it depends on the situation. You know, if my kids are directly involved, or if you're at my house and you're acting a certain way that is really inappropriate, I can't bite my tongue. I'm sorry. I would have to say something. And a field trip. I agree with that too, Jenny. You're responsible for those kids if you're chaperoning. But I am also very non-confrontational. I would have a hard time saying something if the other parent were there. I might talk to my child and hope that parent hears and sort of gets wind that, you know, this isn't okay. But I will say that I have stopped. I have seen kids. I saw kids getting off of the bus one day. This was a number of years ago. My kids were little because Kennedy was sitting in a car seat. I think Connor was in like a booster seat, so they're strapped in. She couldn't have gotten out if she needed to. And I was five cars behind where the bus was letting out. And these kids got off of the bus at the end of the day, and you could tell they had targeted this one kid. Mm. And they took off running after this boy. And there were adults around. There was the bus driver. There were four cars in front of me and cars lined up on the other side. And they started just pummeling this kid, and nobody did anything.
Wow.
Nobody did anything. So I'm sitting there with my two kids in the car, and I grab my cell phone. I get out of my car and I start yelling, I'm calling the cops if you don't leave the kid alone. Not a single adult did a thing.
Wow.
I was shocked. And, you know, I was shaking by the time I got back into my car, knowing that I had just put myself in this confrontational position that I'm not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so more shocked that not a single adult made an attempt to stop.
Did they stop hitting? I mean, did it stop?
They did. Okay. They did stop. They kind of looked at me like, what are you going to do, lady? But
That's funny. They
laughed.
That's funny because, as you say that, I definitely think in college I was the one to jump in between a bar fight. I don't know why.
Of course you were.
I think because I am non-confrontational. I like everybody to get along. So it's like, come on, you know. And people would look at me like I was crazy, but no, that was sort of, that's my role. You know, let's just you separate, and everybody'll be fine.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
But kids, who wouldn't step in? That's what I don't understand.
Crazy.
How do you have all of those other adults, and what were they so afraid of, is my
Lawsuits.
Question. Well,
Lawsuits.
There we go.
That's what this world has come down to.
There we go.
Apparently so.
But I think, too, you know, maybe I should have prefaced this that, you know, because I'm in the school a lot and I volunteer, I know a lot of the kids. So maybe that's why I feel like I can put them in their place, too, because I see them on a regular basis and I'm not a stranger to them. I'm
right.
not.
And again, because you're a volunteer, that is another empowering thing that you have a bit of an authority. You've got a little volunteer sticker.
They do. They do make you put a sticker on. But, you know, there's, you know, one time on the playground, it was, you know, the kid trying to get in front of everyone. And I just hollered his name and he whipped his head around like, whoa, lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, you're not going to butt in front of him. Get back in line.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was just being a little pest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got really quickly too. We want to talk about something very cool coming up. There's fireworks coming to Salisbury.
Yay!
Red, white, and boom. And our good friend Mike Dunn here at the station has rallied the community and raised the money to bring those fireworks at Salisbury University. That's where they're
at the athletic well, you can see them if you come to the athletic fields.
Right.
They're being shot off from the Shoreland Freezer
facility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's on the 4th of July, which is
Wednesday.
Perfect because Willard's, where I live, is doing theirs on the 3rd of July. So we get to go to fireworks 2 days in a row.
I think there's lots of options this year. I think some places are doing them on weekends and some are doing them. So there's just, you're going to have fireworks for 9 days in a row.
You're one of those that you have a place at the beach, so you don't have to fight the traffic.
Go anywhere. Have to just watch them from your backyard. But luckily, we can see 11 different towns from where we are. So we can see 11 different fireworks displays from where we are.
That's really cool. But we do have to say a big shout out and a thank you to Mike for bringing the fireworks back to Salisbury. And
yes.
I know that there's a Facebook page, Red, White, and Boom, 6:30 on the 4th. You can come down to Wayne Street and there are food vendors and kid vendors. It's just going to be a really fun family.
Kid vendors are selling kids.
Yeah, kid activities. What did I say?
Kid vendors. Sorry.
But the community really embraced it. I know that the feedback and what he got back from the community was very positive. And it's not just one event. I mean, this is Salisbury Traditions. There's a nonprofit.
Mike has started a 501c3 to make Salisbury Traditions a nonprofit, which will provide funding for the fireworks, mm-hmm. for continued fireworks, and also for Winter Wonderland, which I've been very involved with, the lighting down at the park.
The park.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun because I feel like you guys are the first to put lights up out of venues around locally. It's like all of a sudden you drive by, you're like, oh, the lights are up. Or you can see them starting to construct the structures.
Well, it's nice to have traditions and it's nice to have something to look forward to. So, you know, kudos for bringing fireworks back.
Are y'all going to go?
I am.
I'm going.
I am.
I mentioned it to my daughter today and she doesn't, unfortunately, she finds them too loud. So I don't know.
Earplugs.
When she was little, we had fireworks right out of our backyard, practically. We live near Green Hill, and unfortunately, they don't have them out there anymore. But I think she was exposed too soon to them. Mm. But she now it's like, no, she doesn't even want to go see them, which is very sad. So.
You can watch them on TV.
Well, they do say, you know, don't bring your dogs because it's not good for
poor
pets.
Dogs. Yeah.
You know, not that your daughter is comparable to a pet, but, you know, leave the pets at home.
Yeah. I think she should try again. Get her some earplugs.
Yeah, she's
older.
Earplugs might
be
the way
again.
To go. Yeah.
Something, how, like these that we have on our ears.
There you go, the headphones. Yeah, I like that.
So can I wrap myself out about something real
quick?
Yeah,
go ahead.
You know, my kids were gone for 2 weeks, and one of my projects was to clean out my daughter's room. So that was, I guess we're almost in July now. So the end of June is when I was doing this. Do you know that I found a full chocolate Easter rabbit that had not even been opened?
Not even the ears bitten off?
Not even an ear bitten off.
Did you eat it?
No, I didn't eat it, but
did you save it for next year?
Was it melted?
Darn, Kathy, I should
have.
That's
a good idea.
Yeah. That would be the
now,
the
I don't know
thing to do.
What's worse, that she either had so much chocolate that she didn't need to eat the Easter
ding,
bunny,
ding, 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 ding.
Or B, that it's been sitting in her room since Easter, and I had no idea it was in there, and neither did she.
Well, I had to follow a trail of ants the other day to figure out where the food was in my living room. And
I was going
to
say, at least she didn't have bugs.
Yep, and sure enough, one of the kids had this stash of candy from who knows which holiday at school, and yeah.
Mounded up behind the couch.
I was over by the fireplace, and there's a little trail of ants
heading right over.
So go through your children's rooms. Make sure they don't have hidden Easter bunnies.
Roll them out.
Thanks for joining us here at Because I Said So. For the podcast, go to becauseisaidsoradio.com and visit us on Facebook as well. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.